The Supermind Company Radio, episode number 2. The true purpose of your emotions. Hello, my dear Superminds. This is Mono Wind. Today, Nirvana and I are going to talk about the emotional navigation system, the most important tool in the art of reality creation and the war against the virus mind. Enjoy!
Hello, everyone. My name is Nirvana.
And I'm Mono Wind. We are your hosts. And this is episode 2 of our podcast. I'm just saying that because the first 3 episodes will kind of be connected, and it will be nice to listen to them from the beginning, because we're presenting now the basis of our perspective and the game we call War Against Virus Mind. And today we're going to talk about emotions and the emotional navigation system. And while I'm organizing my notes here, I'm going to let Nirvana just share something that she wanted to say. Go ahead.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I want to say I'm so happy that you know which episode we're on, because I have no idea. I've already lost track and it's only been a couple of episodes. But yeah, today we're talking about the emotions, and this topic is so special and it's so close to my heart, because about 6 years ago, when I first met Mono, I remember the very first thing that she spoke to me about the universe and the laws and stuff like that. And she spoke about the emotions. That was really my introduction to the truth, these principles, the company. And I remember I was sitting in the ashram on my bed. I forget what I asked her. This was like many years ago. But when Mono said that emotions come from the thoughts that we think, something just clicked in my head. And I know that deep down or in my mind, I just instantly recognized this as the truth. And it really was the first thing to spark my interest, to make me ask more questions, and to lead me into these conversations with her, where I pretty much learned everything about the structure of our mind, reality, the law, etc. So I'm just really excited for this podcast episode today. And I know that there's going to be somebody out there who gets just as excited.
Yeah, that was for me also the turning point, because I actually went home. That is, I had my enlightenment moment that I talked about in the previous episode, when I heard Abraham for the first time, and they said that, you know, you have the emotional navigation system and it works like so and so. I'm going to tell you exactly that right now in a minute. And I was like, okay, if this is true, if my thoughts define my emotions, if really every thought is connected to an emotion, I should be able to see that in my own body. You know, I mean, I had already done so much meditation and I had never just looked at it that way. And I hadn't even thought about what emotions are and feelings. Like, it was just like, nobody talks about it. Like, we say the word feelings, emotions, you can hear it everywhere. But first of all, if you already know what emotions are and you listen to what people say, it's all so wrong. but you know, before that, it was like, I mean, I don't know, something ephemeral, something non-tangible, something that's nothing. It's just like, not even air is more substantial than feelings and emotions and thoughts. And then I sat down and I started trying out different thoughts, and I was just seeing the connection directly. Immediately, I changed the thought, the emotion changes. Well, yeah, like, I had to know what to look for, which is what we're going to talk about now. So do you have anything else to say before I start talking about the emotion?
Yeah. And I wanted to lead into that and just say, what you hear here today, please don't take our word for it. Do exactly what I did and go out and experiment with yourself. Because when Mono said these words to me, they resonated as the truth. But then what I really did was I started experimenting, watching my thoughts and linking them to the emotions. And then I just absolutely knew that this was true. And there was no going back for me after that point.
Yeah, same here. That's the most important part of everything. That's like the core of the entire perspective and this whole mindset of the fifth dimensional conscious human, because the emotions are your navigation through the reality. If you're a conscious reality creator, you have to, even unconsciously, you do use the emotions. Only the problem is that people use them wrongly and you create the opposite of what you want to create just because you don't know what your emotions really mean. But we all use the emotions to create reality. And when you're a conscious creator, you really have to carefully study your sense of emotion, which leads us to this point that emotion is a sense, like the other five senses that we have, the physical senses. And it's not no coincidence that people have been talking about the sixth sense for, I don't know, forever. And they call the intuition the sixth sense, or we don't even know what people mean by sixth sense when you have this kind of awareness of something that you can't even pinpoint. But in reality, it's the sixth emotion, it's the sixth sense. The emotion is the sixth sense, but I think that it's way more precise that it to say that it's the zero sense, because it's well, it's the most important sense, and it's the sense that connects you to your higher mind, to your original mind, to your own. And okay, so it's a sense like any other sense, the physical senses. It has an organ. The organ is the solar plexus. The solar plexus is, you know, I think everybody knows that, but it's just situated in the stomach, let's say, and it connects to the entire central nervous system. So that's why you get, you know, when you get anxious, you get this stabbing pain,
those jitters,
jitters, and you know, just
butterflies
like,
in the stomach.
Yeah, or when you're like really worried, I wouldn't call that butterflies. Like, what do you call that? Just
I think when people say like they're anxious or worried or stressed out, we've had this phrase that's like, I have butterflies in my stomach when I'm super nervous, and it's like, how did they connect stomach to the emotions? You know.
Yeah, it's just that I thought that butterflies was when you're in love. But
well, they say
like...
it for both things. Yeah, they say it for both things, for nervousness, for being in love. Yeah.
Right, but I have nervous stomach, which is like a condition, because since I was a child, I was super, super sensitive to vibration, and nobody knew what the problem was with me, and sometimes, and I would get this horrible pain in my stomach, and nobody, you know, knew that it was just nerves. I figured it out by myself in my 20s. But okay, so let's go back to talking about this sense. So first of all, let's say what senses are, because the five physical senses, you know, sight, your eyes is the organ of sight, smell, your nose,
taste, your mouth,
and then there's hearing, like your ears. So the thing is that, you know, supermind,
you forgot
people,
touch.
Oh, touch, yeah, touch.
Touch, your hands, your entire body.
Your entire skin, but also inside, you know, when you feel your organs or something, that's also the same sense. In any case, every single sense of these five senses do the same thing. They translate vibration. This reality is not really material. In its ultimate form, it is just thoughts that are vibrating. And basically, when you touch a table, you don't touch matter, you touch vibration. And then your nerves, whatever you have, these sensors in the skin, they register the frequency of that vibration. They send it to the brain, and the brain says, this is whatever surface, right? Because you learn that when you're a child. That's why children touch everything and taste everything. They're learning different surfaces and different textures and so on. But we translate vibration with our eyes, with our nose, with our ears. Everything translates vibration of the surrounding world. And then we translate it into these images, sounds, into these things that we call tangible things that are perceivable. in reality, we create them by when the mind translates them, it turns them into these objects by making you believe that they look like that and they are what you're perceiving is actually hard, like hard matter.
I just wanted to add, because it's very funny, because I studied psychology in university and I took one course called perception, and it was very funny because even these scientists try and explain that what our eyes are actually perceiving is energy, and then the brain turns it into something that has meaning. So the eyes are just receiving like energy waves pretty much, and our brain is basically the what would be the word for it? Like, it goes through our brain, and our brain, according to them, is where we get the meaning from. That was their understanding of it.
Yeah, because science studies what happens on a molecule. Okay, the electrons. I remember that, this movie, What the Bleep Do We Know? It was very big a few years ago. And it's about exactly that, and they prove how you never touch anything because the electrons are repelling each other. So basically, you never really touch the surface, but you just sense this vibration, and then your brain tells you that this is a surface of some kind. So, yeah, in the same way, the sense of emotion through the solar plexus actually translates the vibration of your mind, therefore the thoughts that you think, because your mind acquires that vibration of the thoughts that you're thinking in the moment. This is very important, that this is happening moment to moment, because people say things about emotion like or feelings, I love you, for example, in general, not just right now, in general, I love that person. But this is technically not even possible, because you experience different emotions, and at the moment you're angry, you cannot love. It's just not possible. You cannot say that somewhere in the back of my mind, I love that person. No, that's just an idea about the past and the future. But I didn't want to get into that yet. I just wanted to, talk more about the science, because the solar plexus, which is a very important organ, it's actually... I read somewhere, and I could not find any more of that information years later, but I read somewhere that when they studied the solar plexus, they found the same brain matter in it, like the same gray matter that the brain is made of. And basically, it's like a tiny brain. And then I had one conversation with Oms. And I've talked to many people. I've talked to doctors, and they just look at me and like blink, and they don't know, like nobody knows anything about anything in this, in like medicine, but it was, the aunt told me that this is true, and the reason is because basically the solar plexus, because it connects to the entire nervous system, and it's the nervous system that's responsible for so every emotion you feel is actually a cocktail of hormones that is released by the different glands, but it's the nervous system that gives the order to and it like regulates this process. And basically they say that the solar plexus needs to register this vibration and give the order to the nervous system what emotion to produce according to the thought as fast as possible. Otherwise, it would have to go through the brain. So, the solar plexus would have to send the information to the brain, and then the brain would have to reconnect back to the nervous system. And that would take, let's say, a second, but you don't have a second with emotions. Because reality creation is the most important thing, and you have to know exactly what you're attracting right away, like immediately. It has to be pretty much instantaneously. And that's why you have this little brain to give you immediately an indication of what you're thinking, because you're attracting it, you know? So the solar plexus is very important. And oh my God, so many people have problems because of the solar plexus is just overworked, and when you're on the low vibration for too long, it begins to hurt. But also, you know that if you get punched really hard in the solar plexus, you can die. I know that from martial arts. It's even they even have, like, I don't remember in which martial art they had like a special name for that blow, which is like the killer blow. You should know that if you can never track that, but if it happens that somebody wants to attack you, you just go for the solar plexus with all your force, and you're really gonna make them at least pass out. But anyway, so we're not attracting any such situations, I don't think. So the most important thing to know is that every single thought produces an emotion. And the first few years after I learned this connection, it took me a long time to sort of, I was observing my emotions, and it took me a lot of observation to start to distinguish the finer emotions, because we're so used to thinking about the entire state of mind. You say I'm depressed, but the truth is that you're thinking so many thoughts, and every thought creates a different emotion, and it's like oscillating, and your solar plexus is constantly sending different messages. It's like waves. You go up and down, up and down, up and down, and the subtle differences are very important. And this is what becomes a part of our path as virus fighters, to really go down to one single thought and what does that thought produces as an emotion. Then again, you know, in my study of the mind and this whole situation with the emotional navigation system, I learned that every thought belongs to a belief. It's like a cluster of thoughts. And of course, every belief connects down to the fundamental concepts that we talked about in the previous podcast, in the previous episode. And this is very important, because in the end, an emotion indicates one of those basic concepts. It just goes down to that, you know. And when you have negative emotions, they're just one of these four things. You're either afraid that you have no control over your life, or in no freedom, that these two things are connected, or that you're going to die, which relates to everything that has to do with health and sickness and everything, or that you have no love and you're all alone in the world. I kind of mixed them up there. They're not in order, but these are the four basic concepts, and every single negative emotion ultimately denotes one of these concepts that you have a belief attached to them. And yeah, so the most important thing for a virus fighter is to observe your emotions moment to moment, not to think of them as these, I don't know, general things. They're not general, and it's a matter of really understanding that your game is played moment to moment. So the other question is, how is the frequency of a thought determined, and how does the emotional navigation system know that it should give you this emotion for this thought? Do you want to answer that question?
So basically, the emotions are indicating how far or close a thought is to the ultimate truth, to the highest perspective. The further a thought is from the ultimate truth, so the more what people would say negative a thought, the worse the emotion. The closer a thought is to the ultimate truth, or the more positive the thought, as people would say, the better feeling the emotion.
And that's why Abraham say that you have to be in alignment with the perspective of your higher self. Basically, the reason is that your Om is always seeing things from the highest perspective, which is based on the ultimate truth. So in the end, this is a game that happens between you as an avatar, the human self, and your higher self, that original mind. The two of you are at the same time present in your game, and you're walking this path together. And every time something happens, you observe a situation and you have a reaction to that situation. And the reaction is not an emotion. The reaction is a thought. you always react with thoughts, and then, of course, they produce emotions. But people tend to skip the thought part. The thought part is very important because you choose your thoughts. And so basically, it's the two of you. And when you have a reaction by thinking something about what you're observing, and your own does not agree, it has a different perspective on the subject, then the further you are from your own's perspective, the worse you feel. And the game of a virus fighter, the goal of a virus fighter is to shorten that distance and possibly just go all the way where the arm is, basically to see things from that same perspective. But the path is through, of course, first finding what the thoughts are, what beliefs you hold that are automatically almost activated, you know, because you've been trained all your life to be a reactionary being. And everybody uses these words: you make me feel, you frustrate me, you make me feel bad. And I'm just going to tell this story from my life yesterday, the other day, because I live in Bulgaria right now, and we have this very corrupt government. And our prime minister is an extremely annoying, terrible person. And I was watching this. He was talking something on Facebook Live. And I was getting so worked up and so frustrated that I got to the point where my blood pressure went super up, like super high. And I had to lay down. I had to meditate. I even had to take a pill to calm my nerves, because I was shaking. This was like huge for me, because this anger that I felt was so strong, and I had to think about it. Okay, this is huge contrast for me. I have to figure out why I'm angry. And now we go to the emotional scale, the E scale. The thing is that there are so many emotional scales out there that they try to fill it up with all the possible emotions. We, the superminds, have done the exact opposite. We have distilled them down to 4 emotions, 2 negative and 2 positive. Yes. I don't think you need any more than that. So the 2 negative are, you know, on the bottom is, let's just call it fear. And then in that category are anxiety, depression, and so on. You can find that on the website. And also you can find it in the free book that I have on the website. And there's also a book that is book one that you can buy. And all that information is there. So the lowest emotion is fear in our emotional scale, because you're afraid when you feel the worst, when you're afraid of not having one of these 4, you know, truths, these concepts of the ultimate truth. You have no connection to your own, which is love. You have no freedom to create your reality. Anything can happen to you. People can control you. So you have no control over your life. And you might die. You will die, or you might die. And these concepts are always what creates fear in you. This is, you know, everybody knows what the emotion of fear is. But, you know, depression is the same thing. You're always depressed because you think that you're missing one of these 4 things. But the interesting thing is about anger, because I was feeling anger, and my only question was, as a virus fighter, that's the most asked question that you ask yourself, is why I'm angry? What am I afraid of? Because anger is an emotion that you experience only after you have touched the bottom, fear, and then the pull from the highest vibration, which is always there. The arm is always pulling you towards itself. The pull brings you up to anger. And if you're at anger from a certain perspective, that's good, because you're coming out of fear and depression and anxiety and in panic and whatever is on the bottom level. We have listed a bunch of emotions that go on this lowest level, and you can find them on our website. It's a post called Emotional Scale, and you can find it either through the search, or if you go in the categories, it's under Tools and Weapons. So if you're in anger, though, you always have to ask yourself, what am I really afraid of? Because you cannot deal with anger any other way. You have to go down and figure out what is it that chained you to the dungeons of Virusland. And when I had this incredible anger from listening to this guy, I just had to admit that I was afraid that he has this control. I mean, he controls the money of this country. He controls the state of this country, of this people. And it's just, there's so much injustice, and all that was about control, that somehow I depend on him. So somehow he can make my life miserable. And I had to deal with that belief, because it's a very real belief. Like, everybody who's out on the streets right now protesting, and I'm not there because I don't want to be on the vibration of anger all the time, they're protesting exactly because the reality says that, yes, he does have the power. He does decide what to do with the money. He steals the money of the people. He destroys things, you know. I mean, because they do actively destroy the economy and everything here. And it's just not fair and all that. So that's one of the most important, this is going to happen many times. If you're a virus fighter, this anger, where when you get to anger and asking yourself, what is the virus? just to make it clearer and more fun, we have decided that these negative beliefs are viruses, and they even have faces and names in our game. But the question is always, what am I afraid of? And then your objective is to go up to hope, because the two positive emotions are hope and joy on our scale. I know I said that love is the most positive emotion in the universe, and I want to say something about joy. Actually, I want to say something about love first. There's so much confusion around the word love, is because love is not exactly an emotion. Love is more than that. Love is actually a concept. It remains a concept. It's an original concept that encompasses the idea of the highest, the purest emotion. But this purest, highest emotion comes from, is an emotion that indicates the other three concepts. Meaning that it encompasses in itself the idea of the sense of oneness with your own, the sense of control of your game, and the sense of eternity, of being an eternal being. And so it is a concept, but it's the concept that means basically all the emotions that these other concepts produce in one very powerful emotion, which would be the purest emotion, the highest vibration, the emotion that you feel on the highest vibration in the universe. And so, yeah, love remains a concept. And that's why people are extremely confused about it, because they do know it's a concept. But is it a concept? Is it an emotion? It's both, really. But it's a concept, and the emotion is within that concept. People think of love as an idea that refers more to the connection between people, between beings, between people and animals, people and nature. It's just about connection a lot for people. But that's because they think of that one single aspect of this concept of love, which is your oneness with your own. And that is something you feel when you're on the highest vibration. And this oneness with your own is what you feel when you're in love. And there's so much confusion around love, because then people attribute that feeling to the circumstances and the person who has provoked that program of falling in love to be activated in their brain and in their through their hormones in the nervous system, to actually raise their vibration that high and get on that highest vibration. And on that vibration, they feel close to their homes, and that is why they experience this emotion that I have named love. And we're going to talk about that a lot, because it's crucial to our game, to our life, to this world, what love really means. And love is right now a concept that's highly misunderstood and misused by people. And we as superminds, and me in particular, I really desire to clarify this word and use it correctly. Yeah, because it is the one concept that unifies the other three concepts. So it's like, it's the fourth concept, but you can also think of it as the one that's in the center between the other three, and the other three are sort of the basic circuit which creates the foundation of the universe. Because, you know, two concepts cannot sustain a foundation. Two points cannot sustain a foundation, but three points, yes, they can hold a foundation. And in the middle of that foundation is this fourth concept. And in a way, it's the zero concept for me. But that becomes already a matter of, philosophical discussion, whether it should be the zero of the fourth concept. The same with the emotions. Is it the zero sense or the sixth sense? And yeah, I guess in the end, it doesn't even matter what number you give it, because what matters is our practical application and how we use these emotions and how we decipher them. And it is important for us to clean their meaning and to know what we mean. When I say I love you, what do I really mean? We're going to talk about that a lot, because these concepts, they have a very clean, let's say, objective meaning that is the same for the entire universe, for any dimension, for any being that exists in this universe. And we just need to use this language properly so we can understand each other, what we really mean when we say something, and not just use words and transmit a completely different vibration behind it and confuse people, confuse our children, confuse our partners, confuse ourselves, because we don't even know what we're saying. So back to the emotional scale. There is something like a dividing line between fear and anger and hope and joy, because when you get to hope, you are safe, you're out of virus land, and you are already on the positive side. But not really, because hope also has it's like 50-50. It also has some of the negative, because when you say I'm hoping, you know, I hope it will turn out well, it means that you also consider the option that it might not. So hope is still, you know, a bit shaky, and we don't...
It's a bridge.
It's a bridge. Yeah, that's why in the book it's actually...
It's a bridge between virus land and the original kingdom of thoughts and concepts.
Yeah.
And look at me, I read the book.
Oh, you read the book. Yeah, you know the game. The Bridge of Hope. Yeah.
I know the game.
In the Bridge of Hope, in the book, the Bridge of Hope is this bridge, and underneath runs the river of evolution. And when Hope is on this bridge, he is a character. And and it's a very interesting idea that Hope is not really on the territory of the original kingdom, neither on the land of the viruses. It's just in the middle. But when you're there, you're safe, you're out of virus land, but you need to make this effort to cross into the original kingdom, which means to go up to joy. Of course, you can put all kinds of emotions here, because joy has different levels, you know, according to the frequency of your vibration. The higher your vibration, the more intense the positive emotion, and, you know, the top emotions in a lot of these emotional scales that you can find on the internet is like enthusiasm and excitement and even ecstasy, and, you know, which is like the highest possible. When you feel like a child who has just been told that they're going to go to Disneyland, and you can't hold it and you start screaming and jumping because it's too much, the vibration is too high. And there's also just peace and quiet and just being in this perfect, I just call it my zero space, where I don't, most of the time, maybe I'm getting old, I don't really want to be on that highest vibration, and I don't want to you know, just jump off the wall enthusiasm. I want peace, and I want this sense of control and sense of balance, and this, you know, when I can see how time is flowing slowly and I'm in full control and everything. That's my favorite state, and that's somewhere not even a joy, that's a little bit underneath joy, but it's a perfect positive emotion that from there you attract everything you want. But joy is, yeah, joy is joy when you're happy, when you're like, oh, life is awesome, this is great. But yeah, hope can be a trap. You should strive for hope from the lowest emotion, but because hope will take you up if you stay on it. You know, if you're a virus fighter and you play this game, because when the thoughts come, they just come because your mind is thinking, and now your work is to take control of your mind, and your mind is thinking on its own and you have to figure out what's going on, you know, what belief is being activated and why, and then try to find a way out of it. And you're striving for hope. When you get to hope and you stay there, you just have to be at hope for, I don't know, Abraham say like 68 seconds, but a little bit of time, depending on how much you have trained yourself. For me, it's enough to be at hope and not think anything for 3 consecutive breaths. And I immediately get another thought, a thought that brings me up to joy. And when that happens, or like whatever, the higher emotion above hope, when that happens, I know I'm out of the woods, I'm safe, I'm home free, and I just get up and from meditation and I, you know, go about my day. So, yeah, I mean, we can just have a discussion about this whole thing. I think we said the most important basic things, the science-y part about the solar plexus and the different levels of vibration. And now, Nirvana, you can, I don't know, talk about your day maybe. And you wanted to talk about emotions because today you felt so good.
Well, I think for me, the number one thing, I love my emotions so much because they are literally my guidance system. I know exactly where I'm at, depending on how I feel. And you'll come to realize that as a virus fighter, you pay attention to your emotions all the time. You're constantly measuring your vibration using your emotions. And your emotions are pretty much your best friend. So you can always know where you're at and what vibration you're on using your emotions. So for me, every morning when I wake up, I pay attention to how I feel. And if I'm feeling kind of like down and stuff, I know that I have to monitor my thoughts. And this morning when I woke up, the last couple of weeks, Mono's been with me every step of the way, but there's been a lot of viruses that have been coming my way, and obviously, of course, I've been dealing with them, and one of the biggest ones for me has been the health virus. So anything to do with the physical body, with the health, I've had so many experiences of my body basically just like things happening to my physical body, and it really triggers the viruses for me. And so this morning I woke up and I paid attention to how I felt, and I got up and I just noticed like just a feeling of, what's the word for it? It's like a malaise, or just feeling kind of low, but like you're not super low. You just feel kind of a remnant of the previous day's vibration. I always think of it that way. And I started to watch my thoughts, and there were many thoughts in my head circling about the health and blah, blah, this, what are we going to do? How are we going to figure this out? And immediately from my emotions and how I felt, I knew that these thoughts that I was thinking, they're far from the ultimate truth. They're putting me on a low vibration. And from there, I have no power. I have no control. I can't do anything. So immediately my goal was to raise my vibration. And the way that I did that was just slowly being gentle with myself and choosing to purposely focus on other things. So I had to clean my room because my friend was coming over. And as I was cleaning, I was just really present in the moment. And I was kind of watching exactly what was in front of me. And then I had to make myself juice and breakfast. And, you know, when you can slowly defocus and just slowly go more general. And immediately I noticed a change in my emotions, so I felt better. And then my friend came up to my house. I live in a beautiful place in Canada. The city's called Georgetown, and it's a little bit to the north of the lakes, the Great Lakes that exist here. And she came up to see me, and we went outside, and I had so much to focus on outside. And I noticed the more longer I was outside, the longer I was just paying attention to my friend and the conversations and the nature, the better and better and better I was feeling. And then finally, when we finished our hike, we went for a coffee, and I was feeling incredible. And I was looking at my thoughts, and there were so many thoughts of like gratitude and everything being perfect. And for me personally, well, I think many of us are like this. I mean, this is kind of like a universal standard, the thoughts and emotions, the ultimate truth. But for me, when I get the greatest joy and the greatest pleasure is when I think about my game and how everything is perfect, and I know I'm playing my game and I see the pieces. And for me, that's like the greatest joy as a virus fighter, because that's literally what we live for as virus fighters, is playing our game, discovering the viruses, defocusing, raising our vibration. We get the greatest joy from doing this. And I think Mono can agree on that one, because we've discussed this a couple of times. There's when, especially when I'm on the low vibration, there's been times where I've been reminded that this is like going to bring me, well, this brings me the greatest pleasure, is going down and discovering and digging around the viruses and looking at concepts and then raising my vibration. And then I think the highest moments, the peaks of my life, have truly been when I've really made a dent in the virus and even killed some viruses or parts of some virus. That's when I felt pure ecstasy, I think.
Definitely. And I can tell you why. I mean, that you go directly to the, I think in the end, the most important of the four fundamental concepts is this control, which is the combination between freedom and the law. And you being in control of your game, you choosing your reality, that I don't think anything can bring you more joy. Not even love, not even the connection with Om, just you being in complete control and you knowing what you're doing is brings you that sense of control. And especially when you kill a virus, oh my god, I mean, Nirvana's right, this is pure ecstasy. And you can, it's just, I don't know, you just have to feel this. I have a lot of friends, regular humans, who are kind of sick of me and my viruses. I even had one person kind of forbid me to mention the word virus around him because, you know, of course this is my game and it's difficult not to mention it. I mean everything is the fight between virus mind and the originals. But the thing is that when you manage to find the virus and then to forge an antivirus, of course you do that with the Om. I mean, you don't do this with your intellect. The law helps you because you already have those intentions in place. And it's all a game of actually letting it happen, of finding the right corridors that are within your mind that are already there. And it's a lot like a treasure hunt. And it's very interesting because sometimes you have to, you know, you find the virus and then you say, okay, so the opposite of this is that. And then you try it. Nothing works. It's like the needle doesn't move. And then you think, okay, so maybe that's not even the virus. Or, you know, and you finding the antivirus in a situation and applying it and seeing how the virus just disappears and it's gone and it's never again. Of course, that sometimes is a long process. Like sometimes you would, that's how the game goes. You deal with one subject and you have a lot of viruses around that subject, for example. And your days, your experiences, your manifestations start bringing you different pieces of this puzzle. And a little by little, one antivirus here, one antivirus there. And at some point, you just complete this vibrational weapon, this thought weapon. And at the perfect moment when this virus shows up, through people and through everything that's happening around you, and you just like apply that that new weapon you have forged, and you pulverize the virus, and immediately in your reality it shows, immediately you attract the opposite and confirmations. That is really the greatest joy. You feel like a god. You're like totally invincible. Yeah. Knowing that you can do that, yeah, makes you feel like so powerful, the sense of power and control. And that's what it is. You go, you activate, and you activate in yourself the concept of control, and these two, which in the books are the prince and the queen. The queen's Queen Freedom and the prince Order. Together they're a team, while King Life and the prince's Love, they're also a team. And this team, like, you know, King Life and Prince's Love, they're powerful just by being themselves, but they're not about the fight so much. They're like, la 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 la, life is wonderful, we love it. But the queen and the prince, they are really the real leaders of this, the army, that's the army of the original minds. And so when you get basically these concepts, let's say, rewritten and expanded in your mind, because that's what you're doing, you're overriding the viruses with these concepts, and you're like experiencing them and proving them to your mind. So the mind says, okay, this is true. I do have power. I do have control. Every time you have this experience, it puts another brick in this, your beautiful castle that your mind is, that mind that you're constructing. And yeah, we are now basically addicted to that.
Yeah. And the whole reason why we fight our viruses is because we feel good doing it. And it leads to just a better feeling life. Every time you raise your vibration, every time you clean your mind, it feels very good. That's really all there is behind it.
Not only that, the external reality also changes. Our reality becomes better and better, and we are attaining our goals. Of course, if you look at our reality from a perspective of a regular human, or even, I don't know, somebody who's following the Abraham teachings, you might say that our reality is far from perfect, because we are not rich, we are not married, we don't have a boat in the marina, but we have such a precise path, so precise that I was just talking to Nirvana today about money and how I'm not allowed by my own design to have even one penny more or less the money that I need to have right now. And we're going to talk about that in the future podcast, when we discuss the separate viruses through these situations. There's so much to say. But these are now the basics. Yeah. And we're fighting the biggest ones. I mean, after all, I mean, right now, Nirvana is dealing with some health issues. And me too. I also have health issues, but there's so much to talk about that I wouldn't even know where to start. If you're listening to this, and if you think this is in any way interests you, just ask us questions, and we can then focus, you know, this energy, and we can just direct this information towards a specific target, and then we can really, really talk more consistently, because right now we wouldn't know even where to begin, where to end.
These are the basics, the foundation, and the one thing that if you continue to listen to us and continue to follow us and even maybe participate, you'll realize that these basics, this foundation, you don't have to listen and think, oh, like, is this gonna, am I gonna remember this or this and that? Because in this entire journey that I've been on with virus fighting and participating in the Supermind Company, the foundation, the basics have just kept coming up time and time and time again, because the laws will never change. The emotions will always mean one thing. it's going to stay consistent. And for me, when Mono and I spoke in the ashram a couple of years ago, that was really the thing that drew me to this whole thing, was that this was just a law, and it was consistent, and it was simple, and it made sense.
Right. And in the end, it's not something that you can take my word for. You just, it's in your mind, it's in your head, it's in your body, and in your reality, and you just go at it and see what happens. And when you start seeing the synchronicities, the connections, then you can, you know, really, really trust and know that I personally can have a lot to offer, because I've been so dedicated to this work ever since I started on this path, ever since say in my early 20s, when I was already looking for these answers, I was already exploring. It's just that I didn't know what I was really doing. And after I at 33, when I had my moment of enlightenment, let's call it, then I started just doing the work consciously. But of course, everything I had done before that, I just looked at it in perspective, and it was a part of this journey. And I have so much information, because I've been fighting viruses like crazy. This was my biggest passion, and I was at this day and night. And I've been in so many situations, and, you know, being locked in the loops of the viruses and finding the way out, and then finally realizing. And then I was really excited when Nirvana started on this path, because I realized, I didn't even expect that she was getting in a lot of the same loops that I had been in. And I knew where the hidden door was, and I would just tell her, and she would just get out of it right away. And it was amazing for me. Because I was like, okay, it was worth it. Well, when I was in it and I was all alone, just with the ohms, but then, of course, when you're in virus land, you lose them and you're just on your own and you have to find that antivirus to get out of there. And sometimes I would be in those dungeons, in those loops of thoughts, and trying to figure them out and watching them and writing it down. And you know, I was like a mad scientist, you know, the whole structure of the mind. I would explore and study and make these maps. And I just wouldn't, it wouldn't, I can't see it. And it was super painful. I felt so lonely. Not all the time, of course, because when I got out, I was like, oh my God, I mean, this is some next level shit. I mean, this is definitely, I believed the ohms then when they said that this is the future of this humanity. Like, the next phase, the fifth dimension, is about people actually... Well, the first phase will be the transition. I think eventually everybody's going to become a virus fighter one way or another. And this information would be very, very valuable. And then I started experiencing this with Nirvana and other people. I've guided many people on this path, even though, I mean, a lot of them were just... They didn't want to go all the way in and become super minds and true virus fighters and really dedicate everything to that. They just used, you know, some techniques, or they would call me to help them get out of some loop, and they would just take whatever, you know, that little piece and go with it and go back to their lives, because that's their path. But and we're fine with that, you know. We're gonna talk to people like that .
I was going to say, and now, like, in the current, like, right now on the planet, and maybe some of you are even Abraham Hicks listeners, I expect for us to attract many Abraham Hicks listeners, but some of the information that we have about the law of attraction, it's very valuable, and some people just take that and they want to stop there, which is completely fine, because I really believe, and Mono and I have discussed this, that you are just born a supermind, and you're born with this intention, and we really distinguish between superminds, and some people, the path isn't for them, and that's completely okay with us. Yeah,
because a lot of these people, because we've been listening to Abraham a lot, of course, all these years, a lot of them, they just want to create that perfect reality picture. They want to attract the money, the job, you know, the partner, and then that's it. which is fine, but our path is entirely different. We want to create a new world. And that changes everything. We just have different intentions and different goals. And I'm not saying they're better or worse, because there's no such thing in reality creation. Everything has value, but this is our path. We are attracting resources that are going towards that, and we're playing the game. But right now we're mostly focused on cleaning our minds, because that's what every supermind is ultimately focused on. Because the work you do on your own mind, it reflects in the collective consciousness. And every step you make forward and you clean another virus, that means you create a new antivirus. Then the OMS can take that new program and use it in the creation of the new avatars. This is huge what we're doing. And that's what the Supermind company is mostly going to be focused on the individual. We are together, but at the same time, each one of us is complete, connected to the OMS and doing the work within their mind. And this is what is the true, I think, the true value of life, because it's you and your emotions. It's your mind and your emotions. That's the game in the end. Everyone else, they are that as well. The self and the emotions. Ultimately, that's what the game is about. And we're nearing the end of our podcast, and I just want to say that it's been a nice talk. We probably have a lot more to say about the emotions, but this is good so far, and we're going to talk about it more in the future. Next time we're going to discuss what is contrast and how to use it, so we're going to get more in depth of the idea of how to fight viruses. And, you know, this process of reality creation that we just started delving into. Next time, we'll talk more with more specific examples from our lives. And maybe that's going to conclude the foundation of this perspective that we're establishing with these first 4 episodes. And we'll see from there on. We're just going to start talking about our fight and giving examples and discussing our days, because every day something is happening and we're dealing with viruses every single day, and we have the most amazing situations and synchronicities, and we'll just share them with you. And we really hope you will summon the courage to write to us at supermindco@gmail.com. You can also find that email.
Follow our Instagram. Because I feel like Instagram's a big one. It's just Supermind Company. Very simple.
Right. Follow our Instagram. And we do have accounts on all the social networks, but we are not really developing them because we don't have time for now. But we have a website. It's supermindco.com. And you can find all the podcasts there, random reminders and inspiration. And yeah, maybe... The aspect that I like most about our website is that you can check your vibration by choosing a random post. You just open any post, and then on the left side you have a suggestion for a random post, and you can just go from random post to random post, and you can get certain messages and, you know, get clues for your game.
Yeah, and on that note, I feel like that concludes our podcast. We will
and let us
see
be wrong.
You guys soon. And let us be wrong.
Mind your mind.
Yeah. Mind your mind. Mind your mind.